last week we kind of dove into humility a little deeper, and we looked at putting on humility and saw what that looked like. We saw the perfect example was Jesus, whom the Father gave all authority to. All authority was given to Jesus. And what does he do? Instead of being served, he came to serve. He showed by serving his disciples through the washing of their feet. And we were challenged. We were challenged with that can we serve? Can we do that? Can we follow his lead? And we've looked at so many things in the book of 1 Peter, this letter of 1 Peter. We looked at many things pertaining to being faithful in a sin-filled world. We've looked at suffering and persecution. We have looked at having to rely on God and what it looks like to be a Christ follower with steadfast faith. You see, multiple times Peter has referred to followers as being aliens or foreigners. This land is not our home. It's not. We are journeying through it, but we're journeying to go home. To be home is to be with Jesus. And today Peter has a pretty deep topic still to address, even though we're kind of at the final few verses. But let's begin reading with 1 Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Kind of gives you a little mental picture, doesn't it? Just reading through that. A prowling lion looking for someone to devour. What is interesting is that Peter is leaving little doubt as to the one responsible for hardships. Peter calls him the devil. And I wonder if Peter is thinking about his own past when Jesus predicts Peter's denial. It was then that Peter had his own encounter with the enemy. And that's Luke 22, 31. Simon, that's also another name for Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Satan is named by Jesus here. And you will find that Satan is also called the devil. He has several other names in Scripture. Some that are other familiar ones is the evil one, the accuser, the father of lies, and there's others that we could list here. They all refer to the same person. But in this passage of Luke, Satan shows he has limitations. Satan has limitations. He is asking to sift Peter. And I'm grateful that I serve the ultimate authority. I'm glad that Satan doesn't have the same authority as Christ. Satan's limited. At least limited for when it comes to followers of Christ. As followers, we have Jesus who covers us. Now, I do struggle sometimes with why God allows Satan to do some things, but that's for a discussion on another day. What we know is that we live in a fallen and sinful world, and Satan roams this world. He roams it. Job 1:7. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Back and forth, here and there. Been to a number of zoos. It's interesting how some of the big cats, they just go back and forth, roaming back and forth. And it really gives me a picture here of this is what the roaming lion looks like. Though the Lord has given us free will, which means we have the ability to follow what God would like us to do or not, He's given us free will. He desires us to live within His boundaries. So God has given us boundaries to live within. We can choose to stay in them or not, but he's given us boundaries. And we're told that Satan is looking to devour. What does it mean for Satan to devour? I'm going to get back to that question. Here's a picture. It's not a lion. Many of you probably know that I've had problems with a bobcat for several months with our chickens. If you didn't know it, well, you do now. It all started this spring when our main feisty rooster had a pretty good fight with something. We saw marks in the ground. We saw feathers all over. Didn't know what it was at first. But I could see the rooster fought for a while in our driveway in the late morning hours. Since that time, we started losing more and more of our chickens. Our chickens are free-range chickens, and since we lost so many chickens, I had to do something. So I built a fence. I built a fence for the chickens. They were safe in the fence. Now, the chickens didn't particularly like being fenced in. But I knew there was a bobcat ready and waiting, and I began to see this bobcat on my trail camera that I had set up. I knew it was there. I knew if there wasn't some sort of barrier, I knew that more and more chickens would lose their life. Now, we had one chicken that definitely did not like the fence. It had enough wings and enough energy to fly out of the fence. So at first, we had one part of the fence was pretty tall and another fence was a little shorter. So at first, I built up the other side of the fence. I made it taller, I don't know, 8 feet maybe. Chicken had nothing to do with being fenced in, so it would still fly out. We would pick it back up, stick it in the fence. As soon as we'd turn around again, it would fly back out. I told it, the kids told it, you're going to get eaten. Stay in there. But you know what? Chicken didn't understand or it didn't care. I decided to take some more direct measures. This stubborn chicken. So, one of the first measures I did, I cut some of its wing feathers. Now, it didn't hurt the chicken at all, but I decided to clip some of its wings. There, that'll do it. Oh, but this is a strong-willed chicken. It flew right back out. So, what did I do? I went and I clipped some more of its wings. I wanted the chicken to live. I knew it would be eaten if it stayed out. So after the second time of being clipped, the chicken stayed in for about a day, but it was a little rebellious. It flew out again. This time I decided, okay, if the tail feathers are clipped, maybe you can't stay in flight. So I clipped some of its tail feathers. I would think that if the chicken had a brain and a capacity to think, here's what I think that she would say to me if she could speak. I would think that she is thinking that I am purposefully hurting her. I'm purposefully keeping her from her freedom to go and eat, get her dirt baths, whatever else she enjoyed doing. But she probably would think that I'm intentionally being mean to her. I didn't clip her wings because I was trying to be mean. I wanted to keep her alive and not get eaten, because there is a big cat prowling around ready to eat her. I wish that was the end of the story. She didn't fly out anymore, by the way. That did keep her from flying out. But stubborn chicken found a way. You see, the grass was always greener on the outside of the fence. Chicken decided that, well, if she couldn't fly out, she's going to stick her head out of the fence and eat the grass on the other side. Unfortunately, one time when she stuck her head out, the cat was there. And even though I went through extra measures to keep her from harm, she still played a dangerous game. And that's the chicken and the bobcat. The cat was on the prowl to devour. That is what is like for us. Satan is on the prowl like a cat, ready to devour us. Satan's hatred is for God and Jesus and all the angelic beings. But what can he do to them? So his hatred is then turned towards God's creation. He doesn't need to devour those who already deny God's existence or don't live as if God is there. He doesn't need to devour them. Satan, they are already his. He wants to devour those who have God's blessing and those who are committed to following Christ. You see, you and I are his targets. God has given us boundaries in his word. Knowing that Satan is on the prowl. You see, God's boundaries are there because he loves us and he wants the best for us. Oftentimes, we want to push those boundaries. We want to pay more attention to what we are not getting instead of appreciating what God has given us. We start to think that, hey, the grass, it's looking pretty green on the other side of God's boundaries. We think that we are strong enough that if Satan does show himself, that we can handle it. We think we're invincible. We think that we're missing out if we stay within God's boundaries. Psalm 37, 1 through 6, I'd like to read this for you. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued with human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. We see in this first part here of this psalm, I'm going to read a little bit more in a moment, but we see here that there's a trap. You see, Satan is painting this picture that all things are good, all things are looking good, things outside of God's will look appealing. And the writer of Psalm says he almost fell for it. He was walking on the slippery slope of those things. He was walking on the boundary, looking at the other side. But because he was so close, he almost slipped and he almost went there. So I'm just going to say, don't walk the edge, because when you walk on the edge, you are very likely to slip and go to the other side. I'd like to start in verse 16 of that same psalm. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. To enter the sanctuary of God is to enter into his presence. You see, Satan is called the father of lies because he can paint a picture that looks inviting and pleasant. It might even look fun and prosperous, but it's an illusion. What we have now in this world is temporary. Our final destination is permanent. Hell, the lake of fire, is an eternal location for Satan and his demons. It is also the location where men and women will end up if they reject Christ or trade him for possessions or for pleasure, for peace, or for comfort. If they trade Christ for those things. I'd like to read our passage in 1 Peter again. 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Be self-controlled and alert. Peter has told his readers these things several times in this letter. Be self-controlled in that you live as Christ. Don't be easily swayed to move or go to do anything you desire. A lot of times it starts with the mind. To be clear-minded, be controlled in your thoughts, and be alert. Be alert if you know that there's a big cat ready to devour. You need to be careful. You need to be watchful. Be on the lookout for things that entice you or tempt you. We see that Satan is described as that roaring lion looking to devour. And this brings me back to the question I asked a little bit ago. What is it for him to devour? He can devour us in many ways. One is temptation to sin, if we give in to that temptation. He also accuses us before God. He causes us to fear our standing with God. We shouldn't fear our standing with God. He tries to steal or take away our hope that we have in Christ. He twists and confuses truth. He entices idolatry and magic. He attacks and oppresses and even works to divide and bring conflict. He encourages the addictive substances or the addictive activities. Those are just a few of many ways that he can devour us. We are to be self-controlled and alert to these things. You can't let your guard down. A roaring lion is one that also uses his roar to incite fear. He might look and sound like a lion, but the reality is, he's only a second-rate alley cat. When you truly know Christ, then you know Satan's roar is louder than his bite. And we do need to be careful. I don't want to remove that at all. We do need to be careful. But if you are truly positioned in Christ, we don't need to fear. The all-powerful animal is another lion. The Lion of Judah. The real lion. Jesus is also called this Lion of Judah in Revelation 5:5. And is the one who has triumphed over all. Remember, Jesus has given all authority. Satan, he's been conquered by the real lion, and that's Jesus. It's interesting, Jesus is both referred to as the Lion of Judah, but he's also called the Lamb that was slain. This Lamb is victorious. This Lamb of Jesus is victorious over Satan. Jesus brought us life, but Satan wants to take our victory that we have in Jesus. John describes Satan's activities in three ways, and let's read that in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is Jesus speaking here, and he's referring to the thief as Satan. Satan is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And because of the work of Christ, and by putting our faith in him, we have life in him. That's what Satan wants to steal. That's what he wants to kill. That's what he wants to destroy. With Jesus, we don't need to fear, but at the same time, we have to be very aware that we do have an enemy who has every desire to devour us. And to be successful in his attack, he wants to get us to move away from Christ. Remember my bobcat and the chicken story? The bobcat killed the chicken. Chicken stuck its head out the fence, and the bobcat, graphically, I'll just tell you, took his head off. And the reason why I'm saying is That is exactly what Satan wants to do to us. Now, not necessarily physically, but spiritually. Who is our head? Ephesians 1:22 says, "And God placed all things under His feet." So God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. If Christ is your Lord and Savior, He's your head. Christ is the head and the church is the body. Satan's goal is to remove Christ as our head. And he cannot do that unless we put our guard down. He wants us to ultimately deny Christ or to live as if He doesn't exist. He wants us separated from God. That's what he wants. One definition I remember from a while ago about just physical death is the separation of the body from the spirit. Well, what is the definition of spiritual death? It's the separation of Christ from our spirit. That is Satan's desire, that we be separated from the giver of life. He has been working at this a long time. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what temptations to use for each individual person. He's crafty, and he's evil. I'd like to read our next verse in 1 Peter 5. Looking at verse 9, "Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." What can we do? We resist the devil and his schemes. Realize that what you know about God and his commands are there to protect us. God has given us things to do and things not to do as boundaries. Those boundaries are not there because he hates us or wishes us to be miserable or to keep us from what we might call fun. His boundaries are there to protect us because God knows the evils and temptations of this world. He wants the best for us, and sometimes the best for us is hard for us to understand. Why can't I do this? Why shouldn't I do this? If it feels good, why is that bad? These are boundaries. And oftentimes we want to make excuses for crossing those boundaries. But God has them for us to protect us. Don't be like the stubborn, rebellious chicken. Resist the devil. Stand firm in your faith. We stand firm in our faith in Jesus Christ. There are many sufferings. There might be sufferings involved. There might be pain and hardship. And Peter's audience knew this. They knew the pain of persecution. Satan might be inflicting harm, but resist him and stay steadfast in your faith. Staying steadfast is not going to the edge and looking at how happy others look who are not living in the light of Jesus. Staying steadfast is not longing to be like them. We know better. We have the truth of Christ. And being in His presence helps us realize that those without Christ are still facing a terrible end. We need to be in constant fellowship with the Lord. Something else that's important that really isn't brought out here in the Scriptures is staying in your community of believers. There is safety and encouragement in the body of believers, the church. If you look on nature channels or anything about lions or things like that, what do they do when they're roaming the land? They're looking for the weak animal. They're looking for the one who's alone. Having a herd often brings safety. And Peter's discussed many times in this letter that we need each other and that we need to be a community that cares for one another, that helps one another and truly loves each other from the heart. Remember 1 Peter 1:22. If you don't remember that, read it. It calls for us to deeply love one another, to deeply love each other from the heart. 1 Peter 1:22. And I know this kind of sounds bad, but we're a herd. Okay? We're a herd, and we need each other. Not just a few. We need all of each other. If we argue or fight with one another, we're only inviting Satan to come in and do more stealing, more killing, and destroying. We live in a harsh world and we have a crafty enemy. We really need each other. Peter goes on to say that you are not the only one struggling with hardship in this world. He tells them this to hopefully comfort them a little. He's saying, you have brothers and sisters throughout the world that are also suffering, but don't give up hope, because the giver of hope and grace deeply cares for you. I'd like to read on a few more verses here in 1 Peter 5, 10 through 11. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. The God of all grace, the one who called you, will restore you. The God of all grace is the God of hope, because that is what He is giving all of us. Through Jesus, He's giving us hope. But in our time here and now, we are called to be vigilant and steadfast in our faith. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to be steadfast and vigilant in our faith.